Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, a.k.a. your favorite Star Wars character, Snap Wexley, and you are right where you need to be, listening to yet another amazing episode of the Black Squadron Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Black Squadron Podcast, episode 75, and we are back, baby. I'm BP, and joining me, as always, Mr. Todd and Darth Mari.
Woo, woo!
Long time no talk, guys.
Quite literally.
As soon as you said record, I was like, I need to talk Star Wars.
It's been 7 months since our last episode. We are still alive, for the most part. Mari looks like a different human. Home. We got a lot going on. what have we been doing? So we didn't have episodes because of the strike, obviously, and other just life events happening. So we took a break instead of forcing stuff to come out, and I think it's better off for it. But before we get into Star Wars stuff, I think we should probably dedicate this episode to Ray Stevenson. He passed away, unfortunately, before Ahsoka came out, and he was incredible in the role. So, which I'm sure we'll say that a million times when we talk about Ahsoka here later in this episode. So what are we going to talk about tonight? We are going to talk about just some news. We're not going to do 7 months worth. Jesus Christ, you'd be here all day. Some toy news. Again, same reason. Some of our pickups, probably not all, because it's been 7 months. And we're going to talk about The Mandalorian Season 3 and a little bit about Ahsoka, too. So, got a lot to talk about and little time to do so. So, anything you guys want to talk about before we head into the news?
I'm excited. There's been a lot. Like, it's funny because there was nothing really promoted because of the strikes, obviously. But there was still a lot of content that came out during the strikes. Yeah. So, it's like this weird, like, all this pent-up excitement about all these Star Wars projects that everybody's kind of had to sit on their hands and just watch every week and celebrate on their own. So I'm excited to actually get to talk about this with you guys.
I know one else I know like is as hardcore into it as you guys. So like I'll be super stoked on something and they'll be like, yay. And I'm like, why are you more like yay?
The random background character in the Ahsoka series. You're like, it's that character. Yeah. Everyone's like the flea in the background. Like, what are you pointing at?
Yep. I'm like, if you watch the animated show, you'd know. Like,
watch Rebels season 3, episode 4, minute 127. You'll see this exact character.
People are like, BP, why are you crying? It's Ahsoka. Shut up.
Why are you not crying?
All right, you know what? Let's get into the HoloNet headline.
All right, so like BP said, there's a lot of news. Not a lot of promo because of the strikes, but obviously a lot of news. I'm going to go over some of the more recent news. Starting off with, we're getting some press releases. Obviously, we're nearing the end of this year, and we're getting press releases for what's on the slate for 2024. So there is a press release that came out from Disney Plus UK regarding some of the Star. It was like the whole slate of Disney stuff coming out in 2024, but the Star Wars specific stuff only mentioned The Acolyte and Skeleton Crew, which is kind of interesting because obviously back at Celebration, there's a few other shows that were also announced for upcoming in 2024. We have Andor Season 2, which I think was slated for August of 2024, Bad Batch Season 3, and Tales of the Jedi Season 2. Obviously, there's the strikes that happened. I think Andor was almost done filming, but obviously once the writer strike and then the SAG after strike started, that kind of put everything in its tracks. So it'll be really interesting to see if we still get Andor in 2024, if it sort of pushes it a few months. I don't know. I imagine the animated stuff, Bad Batch and Tales of the Jedi, will still get, because I'm pretty sure those were more or less done with the actual like voice recordings and were more in the post-production stuff. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think we're going to get Andor in August still? Do you think the strikes are going to push that into the fall? Do you think we'll get it early 2025?
It's so hard to say, but it almost feels like it has to be pushed, especially since they're not talking about it now as much, I guess. But to me, I think they're going to push it to early 2025.
Yeah, I don't see a scenario where it happens, where it comes out this year. Well, next, it's not this year yet, but this year, 2020.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's interesting because we'll roll right into the next thing. It was just kind of talking about the general impact of the strikes on all of the Star Wars content that we've got coming up. I mean, Andor season 2 was only a few weeks, I think, literally weeks from wrapping up. So I guess it'll be interesting to see if that pushes it, if they had to do a bunch of reshoots still. I think there have been some more like leaked photos of like OT trilogy, snowtroopers and stormtroopers and stuff like that. So maybe they're in the middle of trying to wrap up filming now. Who knows? We have Mando season 4 is supposedly, I think that was supposed to start production back in October, strikes ended in November. So obviously that didn't happen. I believe that they are now ramping up production. I think Brendan Wayne posted something along. He was posting an Instagram post about, I think, a softball team that he's coaching. But also he's like, the two things I'm excited for, the second season of coaching these softball players and Mando season 4 ramping up for production. So I'll be curious to see if that gets pushed, like if the whole release timeline more or less just gets extended, if Andor has to push until late fall 2024 or even early 2025, then does that push Mando
even further?
If Skeleton Crew, which I know Skeleton Crew and Acolyte both were said to be coming out in 2024, but if either of those have to do reshoots and those have to be pushed, I believe the release order is Skeleton Crew and then Acolyte and then Andor, if I'm remembering correctly. So if one of those has to get pushed, do they just push everything? I think it'll be interesting. Do you guys think that we'll see a bunch of pushes? Do you think they'll just try and speed run, trying to get all this stuff out on time?
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think the strikes obviously hurt a lot, not just Star Wars related, right? So programming theoretically is going to be thin next year for Disney Plus. Maybe they just try to put something out as quick as possible. I feel like the animated shows, this might just be my lack of knowledge of how the process works totally, but I feel like the animated shows might be the fastest thing to push out.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, like, depending on where they are in the process or that kind of thing.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they do put something out just to put something out. Keep subscribers.
But yeah, I mean, it's obviously the impact of the strike. I think it'll be interesting to see what it does for the shows. And I agree with you, BP. I could definitely see them using the animated stuff to fill that void while they're trying to sprinkle in all the other live action stuff. I think what's going to be more interesting is what it does for the movies that are, on the docket to start. We have Daisy Ridley's film, I believe, is the first one now. That's going to be, which is crazy that's like, starting. I think it's in the early, and again, none of this is really confirmed, but I believe that film is in like the early stages of getting off the ground. So if that gets pushed so that they can let all these Disney Plus things breathe, so that, I mean, it's going to be just really interesting to watch the ripple effect of the strikes over the next, I don't know, 2-3 years of Star Wars content.
I'm curious now that Dave Filoni's in more of a creative leadership role, like how his visions are gonna like maybe push some of these to have changes, maybe, and what he might have something already in the works that no one even knew about or they didn't announce or something like that. So for all we know, Dave Filoni's gonna come in clutch and save Disney Plus single-handedly.
It is going, speaking of, because we haven't talked about that. Obviously, we've been gone, but Filoni getting the promotion to, I forget what his actual title is, but it's like major creative
director or something like that.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah. It's just the Filoniverse. With him getting this promotion to this like higher title, I do wonder if he's still going to be as involved in like the day-to-day creation and storytelling. Like, if he's still going to be directing episodes of Mando or directing episodes in Ahsoka if that comes back, or if he's going to be
more in a background.
Yeah, or if he's even, because he's still slated to direct a movie that's kind of the culmination of the whole Mandoverse, with him in this, you know, more creative director role. Is he still going to be doing the directing and all that jazz?
Did I tell you guys about my story from New York Comic Con when I ran into a guy who looked exactly like Dave Filoni?
Cowboy hat and all?
I'm not kidding. He looked just like him. And I like stopped him and I was like, dude, you look just like Dave Filoni. And he looked like I was from outer space. Like, I don't know if it was Dave Filoni and he was like this dumb woman, or if he was like really just somebody who looked exactly like Dave Filoni and had no idea who he was. But I like, I was looking at pictures of Dave because the guy had like a little mole by his nose. And so I was like, is that, does Dave Filoni have that? And I was like scouring the internet for Dave Filoni pictures. I don't think it was Dave Filoni, but I was really nervous that I embarrassed myself in front of Dave Filoni. Now that I've said his name.
It was Dave Filoni pretending to not be Dave Filoni, pretending to be Dave Filoni.
That'd be the most meta disguising mole on your face.
That's like that one.
He was by himself too, so I was like, wouldn't he have like, he'd have to have somebody with him.
He didn't have Celebration. He just wandered.
Oh my god.
Well, wasn't he wandering around with Filoni or Favreau though? Wasn't it like the two of them were just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna casually walk around and say hi to people.
You make me feel worse. I'm like, oh my god, baby, I love Dave Filoni.
Like, have you guys seen the video of that documentary that's being done? And then you just see George Lucas walking in the background. Like the same thing, just random Dave Filoni appearance.
Sorry, off track.
Oh no. Well,
actually, speaking of Comic-Cons and Star Wars folks, it was just announced before we started recording that Delilah Dawson's going to be here at AwesomeCon in DC.
Oh snap.
They're getting some heavy hitters because they got Ewan. They've got Delilah Dawson. They've got, I think, a few other stars. I don't think any other major actors or actresses, but I know a couple other authors and artists.
Not yet.
BP's got all those secrets in his head.
Awesome Con is going to be huge for the Black Squadron.
Yeah.
That I will say.
Which, I think the last time Awesome Con had a huge Star Wars presence was back in 2018, like right after The Last Jedi, where they had all of the costumes and stuff, and when John Boyega was there.
Oh, yeah.
He randomly went into the Comic Logic booth at AwesomeCon that year.
I wasn't there that year. I'm pissed.
Yeah. Like the one time.
I was actually in the booth there. I was talking to the guys, and just John Boyega just wanders by. Comes in.
It's like, again, it's like that George Lucas cameo back there. You see John Boyega walking in the background. Like, wait a second. Last couple of bits of news. Obviously, with the strikes over, all the casts are now able to talk freely about the shows that they were on, sure, behind the scenes content. I am living for the Ahsoka cast and just all of their absolutely unhinged content that they've been posting.
I love the Shin and Ezra actors just constantly. Like, this person's a badass, that person's a badass, like just back and forth.
I think the video of her riding in the like toy land speeder smoking a cigarette.
Yes, actually, I was gonna bring that up. Well, you guys obviously have seen that video. Did you see like this past weekend at LA Comic Con, somebody took that little speeder to her and she rode around the con with it?
That's amazing. Oh,
also, I love her. And
I know, amazing. I saw your shirt earlier. I was like, oh man, that's awesome.
I can't wait to talk. Her character was so interesting in the Ahsoka series that it's going to be fun to really get into it later in the episode.
There's a really funny TikTok. There's a cosplayer. I'm going to find her name on TikTok who looks exactly like her in costume. Like exactly. Like you kind of like, is it you?
Is it Savannah Solo?
Maybe. I don't honestly have no idea. But
I think I know who you're talking TikTok about.
She's like, Balin said, we're going now. And she's like quickly applying like smoky eyeshadow. I know.
But the all the photos, even Lucasfilm is getting, like, they've been putting TikToks out where it's just unhinged, where it's Iman, is Iman Estefani, I think is how you say Ezra's actor's name. And just absolutely being the most Ezra possible person.
I thought he was wearing pajamas because his top looks like a pajama top, but it's actually just like a summering in Italy.
He's just enjoying casual wear. Yeah. He's the most Ezra actor that they probably could have gotten other than Taylor Gray.
Yeah, maybe.
Then last little bit of news, and this is something that I'm excited for because I play way too much Galaxy of Heroes, but the mobile game Galaxy of Heroes is adding Keller and Beck, Ahmed Best character from the Kenobi series. I'm really excited because this is another character that they're adding to build up to getting the Mandalore Bo-Katan character. So it's like they will release these like four or five individual marquee characters, and then you have to grind and all the fun pay-to-play stuff to unlock them and get them to the right levels, and then you'll be able to take those characters and try and unlock another character. So right now, like, I'm in the middle of trying to get Endor Leia, which has been rough to say the least. But this game, if you don't play this game, don't start, because it is such a time sink. I spend probably, and it's a mobile game, like it's not anything like crazy, you're not like role playing or anything like that, and I'll probably spend like 2 hours every week, like every day, just like going through and doing my daily stuff and trying to get character shards, and it's like I need to delete this game.
Speaking of mobile Star Wars games, what's that Ponzi scheme of a game that's never coming out that just got delayed another year?
Oh, Hunters.
Yeah, Hunters. Oh, Jesus Christ, that's not a real game.
I don't know about Hunters, because obviously like Hunters had a huge presence at I think Celebration in Anaheim.
Yeah.
I don't know about London. I don't know if they had a presence at all, but they like, it would make you think that this game was coming out like the following couple of months. Never did. I think it's in like a soft release though in like certain markets. So like some people are able to play it, but then like the bulk of us can't play. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't even want to try to know what's going on with this game.
I'm convinced that's never coming out.
I think it's maybe Star Wars Hunters is the friends we make along the way.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. I'm excited for what's it? Outlaw? Star Wars Outlaw?
God, yeah. I cannot wait for that game.
The like smuggler Han Solo style open world game that I'm going to spend way too much. I already like grinded all the way. I think I'm missing one trophy to 100% Jedi Survivor.
Jesus.
So yeah, and that was like back when the game first came out.
I think I did finish Survivor. Yeah, so I finished the Jedi series finally.
What'd you think of Survivor?
I liked the first one better.
Ooh, I see. I like the second one better. There were some moments that really just tug at the heartstrings. That was real. That was a real sap for a lot of those moments, but. Great games. Looking forward to hopefully we get some more fun Star Wars game announcements in the near future, because there's like 20 million Star Wars games. There's a lot of stuff that's like in the works. Like there's like four or five Star Wars games that are in the works. Like there's all the
movies.
I want
a Baldur's Gate version of Star Wars. I want it.
Jeez.
I would never, I'd have to quit my job. Like with how obsessed I am with Baldur's Gate, like. If there was a Star Wars one, it'd be rough.
There's a lot of nudity in this Star Wars game.
Oh, I'd be so happy. Romance all the characters I want.
All Wookiee needing to go.
Little do you know that the Wookiee is actually the most chased after love interest in Star Wars Baldur's Gate.
Mario, you got your own like game idea right there. Just run with it. Just pitch it to Lucasfilm.
Dave Filoni!
Oh, jeez.
We're friends now.
You did find him, so you're besties. It's okay, guys. I found him. That's all I've got for the news, really. Not like I said, not a ton. There's going to be more and more news coming out as you know we're post-strike and all that jazz. So I'm sure lots of fun stuff to talk about in the near future, but I'm going to toss it back to BP to talk about all kinds of fun stuff.
Put Captain Solo in the cargo hold.
So you guys listening can't see this, but that is an actual video that plays on our screen. And I think the video of Boba Fett going into his ship with the Carbonite Solo might be from Robot Chicken.
Is it really the Robot Chicken one?
It's really far, like it's not, it's like far away, but it kind of like the way they move looks very Robot Chicken-y.
Oh boy. Geez.
All right. So geez, cargo hold. There's been a lot of toy announcements over the last 7 months, but I think what we're going to focus on is, for the most part, Hot Toys, because over the last couple of weeks alone, Hot Toys is like just killing it. But before we do that, let's tell everybody what we have purchased over the past few months. And usually Todd goes last, because usually Todd is the one with the wheelbarrow thing.
List.
It's me this time. so we'll let Todd go first, and then Darth Mara, and then I'll go.
I've been cutting back on the Star Wars stuff, obviously, with between buying a house and the car getting totaled and all that jazz. It's
been every concert on every coast.
Yeah.
Listen, I have. Oh, I don't think we've recorded since I've been to like Blink and. Mm-mm. Yeah, because that was a. You want to talk about a hoot, man? I was being barricaded for the Blink 182 show. I was in the thick of it, and it was a wild time. But anyway. Stuff I picked up, only two things. One of them I got for my birthday. It was the Scout Trooper Black Series helmet, which I was super excited to get because I love me some Scout Troopers. I will always love me some Scout Troopers. I fight with myself every single day whether or not to get the Hot Toys Return of the Jedi Scout Trooper. And I'm like, ah, man, I really want this, but I'm like, I can't justify like $500 something for a hot toy. And then I'm like, but it would look so good on my wall of stuff. So yeah, got the Scout Trooper helmet, really excited about that, and then forgot. So this one I completely forgot that I ordered was the Mandalorian N1 Starfighter, the chromed out version one. Completely forgot I pre-ordered this. Thought I had canceled all my pre-orders because we were moving and all that jazz. And then I get a shipping notification. I'm like, oh well, that's not good because I don't live there anymore.
Oh,
no. So I had to like haul back up to my old apartment and like track down where this package was.
Oh.
And then bring it back. It looks cool. I mean, it's a cool figure. It's a cool
have
set.
You opened it?
I have. It's on. You guys can't see it, but it's like right at the top of my shelf, just out of view.
Was Din carded?
Yep. So it came with a carded Din. It's got a like loose Grogu that you can put in the little cockpit, and then it's got a like mount thing that you can take R4's head. So you have to buy R4 separate.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hasbro. And you can take the head off of the TVC R4 and put it on this little mount thing and then put that in the cockpit. So there's a lot of cool like ways to display it. It's got a nice base that you can kind of put different flying angles and all that jazz.
I have an extra Kenner R2 head if you want it.
Really? Wait a second. That's not canon. You're breaking the timeline. That's it though. I really don't think I've gotten much Star Wars stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to look around and see if there's anything I'm forgetting. Not much. Maybe like a couple like small things here and there that I'm forgetting about, but I put up
eBay and Amazon's purchase history and then I was like, Jesus Christ.
I've been on the fence about a couple different things, but then I'm like, if I get this, then I'm gonna have to get like seven other things. And then, like, I wanted to do the Endor bunker TVC set and the ATST, but then I'm like, then I need to get like three more Scout Troopers to complete like that, and I need to get like a new TVC Han, Luke, and Leia, and that. And I was like, this is going to be like $400, $500 just to get all this. And by that point, I can just buy the Hot Toys Scout Trooper. So we're getting smarter with our buying, which will probably go downhill because now that we've started doing this again and we're such good influences on each other whenever we get together on Star Wars buying, that I'll probably be like, oh, next week I've got 20 items.
Right. Yeah.
So
nobody's bought anything yet. And it's been 24 minutes, so we're good.
Oh man,
the episode is young.
We haven't gotten into the new releases and pre-orders.
All right, Mark, what'd you get?
Me, I'm up. All right, I went to New York Comic Con this year, and I hung out with Brendan Wayne and Lateef and a couple of other Star Wars actors, Tate Fletcher, who played, he was Paz, in the full armor suit. But while I was there, I picked up this super beautiful fine art print of the Millennium Falcon, which I haven't shown you guys. I need to take a picture of it. It wasn't hanging up for a while because I wasn't sure where to hang it. It's beautiful though. It came framed, like it's really nice. And then I also got, you guys did hear about this part. I was surprised with a blind box lightsaber from, I think it was Ultra Sabers was there. and it was a Sith lightsaber. It had a curved handle and it had sound effects. It was the whole shebang.
It vibrated.
Yep. Beautiful toy. the TSA stole it. And that lightsaber is no longer in my possession. So
that is insanity. Their website literally says lightsabers are fine.
I didn't think about that until you guys mentioned it and we were already like about to get on the plane. Like I was crying. They were not willing to work with us at all. It was a total shit show. And I've tagged them on Twitter. Like I've tried calling them out. I sent in numerous emails and have gotten zero response from them. Nothing.
That's wild, especially because of all the people that were probably coming in and out of New York because of the con, which it's not a small Comic-Con. I mean, it's like San Diego Comic-Con levels of large. So
yeah,
that's insane, especially since they have a specific line that says, are lightsabers allowed? Yes.
Like while the technology does not exist for them to in real life, like that's literally on their website. But yeah, so that guy got himself a nice fucking lightsaber.
All right, so if you're listening to this and you work at TSA or you know somebody who does
at the New Jersey airport,
are you at Newark?
Yep, Newark.
It's Newark.
Tagged Newark and they were like, the TSA is separate, and I was like, but they're in your fucking airport.
we need Kevin Smith to help us. Come on, Kevin. Yeah.
Please. Actually, no, that thing is probably long gone at this point.
Ming probably helped us. We know
he was there. I saw him, but he was just like bouncing back and forth. But yeah, that's what I got there. I was also at Baltimore Comic Con where I got a dark saber from DX Sabers. I'm getting a little disenchanted by some of these alternative saber providers just because I brought it home. I didn't have them test it because they had one open that worked and it looked beautiful. It has the NeoPixel, all that kind of stuff. I got it home and it didn't work. It's apparently just the battery, but I was promised that two more would be mailed to me and I still don't have them.
Fun fact about DX Sabers. When this podcast first started, we had talked about them potentially being a sponsor. Some stuff came to light about the guy who owns it and his practices, and there is a large group of people who are actively trying to get this guy shut down for years because of his practices and the way he runs his business and his way he gets his lightsabers.
I did not know this. I know somebody else who vouches for them. I'm gonna have to have a conversation.
they go after hard on like influencers and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were trying to get me to give them an application to New York. They were like, we've been trying to get in there for years. And I was like, you haven't even sent me my batteries. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're an interesting company, to say the least.
So we do not advocate DX Sabers. Other than that, I got a TIE fighter jumpsuit so that I can start preparing a whole ass costume for it. I'm super stoked on that. I got this awesome hardcover sticker book from the shop. It's filled to the brim. Like it's a thick book filled with stickers. I can't wait to tag everything. I've also bought like this crocheted AT-AT. It's super cute and its legs are like mobile, so I can like set him on my shoulder. I love him. This next thing was actually not purchased by me, but it is in my house. The Theory 11 collector's box of all of their Star Wars cards is sick. You can use the Force to open it, and then it reveals all the cards. So I'll have to take a video and post it up. But yeah, it's really neat. I also have more art. I got a couple of skate decks custom painted by a friend of ours. These were gifted to me by one of my best friends. It's a Darth Maul and Ahsoka, kind of one eye each, where they're looking face forward, but they kind of go together and they light up in the background. Super awesome. And for those of you who know me and have been listening to the show, you know I have a problem with the Mythos statues. I finally got the custom cases for my Asajj and my Darth Vader. So while it's not necessarily Star Wars, it's involved. So that's my cargo hold. Extensive.
I think what we'll do is for the stuff that we're purchasing and getting, we can post it in the stories on Instagram and then make a highlighted thing so they just live in our account so people can go check it out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Have a giant timeline of all of our spending.
Yeah, hold them now, though, thankfully.
They missed the worst of it.
Anything. All right. Well, okay. So me.
Yep. Up to you, BP.
Whilst we were on our break, I decided to jump completely headfirst into collecting vintage Star Wars Kenner figures, and I did not go into it timidly. So over the past 7 months, I have purchased 36 figures, mostly mint or near mint as possible. 7 play sets, an AT-AT, Millennium Falcon, and I think that's it for Kenner, but a lot of really cool shit that I love. I've always wanted a Kenner collection, and now I have one, a really decent, nice one, and I gotta tell you, it's an absolute treat to look at every day. Not fun to dust, I will say.
You need one of those fancy glass cases.
Yeah, just walking by it, like a figure will fall over and it starts like a domino effect. I need to get the little plates for them to stand on. But aside from Kenner, I've got an Enoch helmet from Ahsoka to put together and finish. I gotta start that. I got the Praetorian Guard Mandalorian helmet from season 3 of Mando. All red guys. I got this sick Kyber crystal, cracked crystal necklace.
Nice. Now we kind of match. I just have a black Kyber crystal necklace from Disney, but now we're twinsies.
Hey, I also have this Ken Hati shirt where she's all over it. That's like one of those vintage.
Love it.
Yeah, I love her. I think that we should meet. I finally found the black Chrysanthemum Disney. The Stanton Black Series figure, the good one, not the shitty comic book version where he's really thin. The black painted Chewbacca. This is like the real person.
This is the actual molded figure.
It's ginormous. Like it's actually to scale. Like the difference between Boba Fett and
That's awesome.
And the details are great. Like everything looks great.
Now I need to get that BP.
I should have just bought it when I saw it.
Highly recommended. What else did I get? I bought a Mandalorian flag because I've gotten super deep into the Mandalorian culture. I'm obsessed. So I found a flag, got it hung up, and it fell immediately because I hung up very poorly. and then lastly, certainly not least, my Mandalorian build I'm building to join the Rogues of Mandalore. I've got a flak vest. I got this really sweet electronic in my helmet to when I take the helmet off, it does that depressurization sound.
So cool.
So fucking cool. God, what else did I get for this? Thigh and hand armor, the back plate, a jet pack, leather boot covers, pants. So the goal is to have this done before AwesomeCon in March here in DC.
Are we doing BSP takes over AwesomeCon?
Always. if everything goes the way it's planning to go right now, we're gonna have a really awesome fun.
I missed it last year. There was like a bunch of stuff going on, so I didn't get to go.
Yeah, I missed Baltimore Comic Con this year because I randomly, out of the blue, no way of knowing how, got COVID.
I was so sad. I was like, I get to see BP, and then you said that, and I was like, no.
I love Baltimore Comic Con. My favorite Comic Con. It's comics and toys.
Yep.
And art. That's what it's, so it's not a pop culture con. It's
like
old school, gritty Comic-Con, and I love it.
It's a true Comic-Con.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the best. It's in the basement, dark. I love it.
I know, like there's no wind, like natural light at all. Like
you can't have natural light; it'll scare everybody away.
Exactly.
Everyone's already like this, you know.
You see a bunch of like Palpatine looking people walking around. Good. Give me the comics.
Do it.
$1. All right, so let's get into some toy announcements. We're going to start with Hot Toys.
Let me get my wallet ready. I mean, no. Toys,
my Obi-Wan that I pre-ordered 10 months ago, it only has one more payment to go. So who knows? I might get it early next year. I'm very excited for that one. It's got the light up saber. He's wearing his Clone Wars armor.
Yes.
Jazzed. All right. So announcements. A lot of these, all of these are from Ahsoka.
Almost like that show just came out.
Phase one Rex. And I say phase one because it's actually phase one and two. So it's kind of a really good deal if you think about it. You're getting both Rexes. It's expected to ship October 2024 between October 24 and March 2025. So get your order in now. Hold your breath. $260 for it.
I didn't see this one. Does it have a face sculpt too, or is it just the helmets?
I don't recall there being a face sculpt because he doesn't take the helmet off in the show. I don't think they. But that's not a hard one to find if you wanted to add it.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming that it would just be Tem's face and off of one of the 20 bajillion Boba Fetts with a little bit of hair.
It does not look like.
It would make sense since when we see him, it's just the helmeted version in the Ahsoka series, but it's real nice. They get so much nicer every year too. Like the quality is just from like when we started with the Hot Toys stuff when early in the show to now, it's insane how like much the head sculpts look and just all the pieces and everything.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at the Ahsoka one and I'm like, that looks so much like her.
Yeah,
I totally forgot. I hyperlinked all these things. And then
yeah,
I actually look at them.
And that's exactly what I'm doing.
And Mark's adding to cart.
Yes. So the next one is Ahsoka herself, and she is in the white, mostly white outfit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Ahsoka the white.
Yeah, and then unreal. Looks unreal.
I am bummed that Hera has one head. I keep jumping ahead of you. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm with you on that one. But so the Ahsoka is 300 and it comes with a touch more accessories, but not much more. So I'm not sure what the price difference is. But the same shipping timeline, October to March 2025. But then after that is Hera Syndulla. Also, I didn't put it on the show notes. There is a chopper as well. I don't know how much he was, but I hope it's not over $200 for Chopper because he's tiny.
It's $220 plus shipping and handling. No, I don't know how much it is.
You're not probably wrong.
$240. Order.
Almost as much as a Rex.
French toast. yikes. Wow. He must come with a billion accessories.
It does look like he comes with quite a bit.
Are the war crimes included?
Yes.
I love how both of you said that these exact same time.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look like he comes with that much, actually.
Well, I look at how much they charge for R2, like R2 and 3PO, and those aren't that much more like intricate, I feel like. R2 especially. R2 and Chopper, I feel like, are pretty comparable as far as Hot Toys goes. And those are pretty similar, so I'm sure it's just a markup because people know that it's Chopper and the diehards, the sweaties will buy Chopper.
Are you calling me sweaty?
I'm saying I'm sweaty.
But also me.
But also yes.
So yeah, Harris 260 and the same shipping timeline. Next is Sabine with her Lothcat, which I thought was a great touch.
Mm-hmm.
She's $271, so that's the extra $11 must be for the Lothcat.
Lothcat not included, must be $11 surcharge.
But this one, Sabine is shipping July 2024 to December 2024, so you can buy this one now, potentially have it for Christmas.
I think Sabine was the first one out of all of these to get. I think it was like Sabine and Hera were the first two.
Yeah. And then it was
Sabine and Chopper, one of the two.
I think it was Sabine and Chopper.
Yeah.
And then Hera and then Rex and then Ahsoka. But before all that, I think it was Thrawn, because the Thrawn was also announced, the 1/6 scale version, Hot Toys version, Thrawn, 255, and it's scheduled to ship the same 2024, 2025. But so the Thrawn looks great.
You too can have your own 1/6 scale blue scary man.
Yeah. But yeah, all these Hot Toys, is they're on a whole nother level. If you listen to the show long enough, we've sung their praises a million times. But if you're on the fence whether or not you should dive into collecting these, I know they're expensive. I know it's batshit crazy to think about spending this kind of money on a toy.
Or you can make payments, though.
It's literal. It's payments, so it's not real.
That's money you don't even have yet. Don't worry about it.
It's not $260. It's $50 a month for a couple months.
Listen, my logic is always, that's not a now Todd problem. That's a later
problem.
That's a, next month I have a $50 payment. Oh, I have another $50 payment. Yeah. Oh, this one's $100.
You can't budget it's for it. Handle.
Exactly. You just have a little budget and calculate. Yeah. You're like, how much money do I have allocated for Star Wars toys?
Listen, do you want to pay a silly student loan or a Hot Toys with Ron? Like, pick.
One you can't escape from, and the other's a student loan.
Sure. He'll make his way back.
Who doesn't love just having like walls of plastic figures staring at you at all hours of the day?
Couldn't be us.
I have Mythos Obi-Wan trying to do the Force on me at all times.
You can't see them, but Maul and Ahsoka Hot Toys are above here, and all of my Gundam are above here. So
literally, all I can see is the ass end of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, non-Hot Toys Star Wars toy news. Well, that's a mouthful. So totally random. Hot Wheels has a new Zuckus Hot Wheel car out. This is what we've all been waiting for.
So weird.
Actually, the name of this episode is "Can You Believe There's a New Zuckus Hot Wheel?"
Can you believe Hot Wheels still makes cars?
If you've
and they have made a Zuckus.
If you made it this far in the episode, the code word is Zuckus.
Zuckus. Stay with me. secondly, the Columbia Skywalker collection is now available. You're going to need a loan, like a substantial mortgage loan, to buy these things, but they're really cool looking. They are stupid money.
I will say, compared to some of the previous ones they've done, this one is, I think, my least favorite of all of them.
It's an orange jumpsuit.
I get what they're coming from, but I was like, the goggles are cool. The snow goggles are cool looking. And then obviously there's a handful that are signed by Mark Hamill, which are obnoxiously expensive.
Yeah.
Like obscenely expensive. But
I didn't even bother looking.
Yeah. I think it was like $2,000 or something for the Mark Hamill signature edition ones.
He was at Fan Expo San Francisco 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think he'll ever do like a celebration or anything like that ever again. Oh, well, I take that back. We'll probably see him for the 50th of A New Hope, but I feel like that's it. I feel like he's not going to, I don't know if he'll do any signings. I think it'll be like what they did in Orlando for the 40th of A New Hope, where like they rolled out Harrison and Mark Hamill and George Lucas. And I can see him doing the same thing at the 50th.
So if you haven't seen these Columbia collection things, it's based off his X-Wing jumpsuit.
Mm.
So that is what it is, and they are crazy, crazy expensive, but they look really cool, and I'm sure they're really warm.
If you snowboard, I'm sure they're great.
Yeah, if you're about that life.
Yep.
All right.
Pretend you're on Pop.
Funko Pops. I don't know. What was the last time you guys bought a Funko Pop?
That's a great question.
I'm going to out myself and tell you guys about one yesterday.
Oh my goodness, BP. We can't be friends.
I bought the 10-inch Den Jaren, the chrome version.
Oh, I've got him. I would have just given it. I'm trying to get rid of all mine. I would have just given it to you.
It was $13 total. They're going to pay more for shipping.
Mine was free $99.
It's true. But I needed it. I have the Master Chief 10-inch and the Battinson 10-inch. I was like, man, I could really use a Din Djarin 10-inch Funko Pop.
So he doesn't need 10 inches of Din Djarin.
Yeah. All 10 around.
He wants all 10 inches of Din
Djarin. All right, this is Black Swan After Dark.
10 minutes till 10. Welcome to BSB After Dark.
You're going to hate it.
Zuckus.
Suck
ass. Prepare to get sucked,
baby.
Sucked.
All right. Funko Pop. What was I talking about? Funko Pop. Okay. Funko. New Funko Pops announced, and they're all Ahsoka related. This is a pretty heavy Ahsoka episode. But so we're getting a new Thrawn. We're getting a Morgan Elsbeth, who by the end of Ahsoka, absolute badass, by the way.
Yeah.
A couple different, Night Troopers? Is that what they're called? Yeah, Night Troopers. Yeah. And then a Shin Hati. Gotta have it. I'm kidding. I'm not buying it. A Baylan Skull. And there was a couple more. Another Ahsoka just from Clone Wars, a 332nd Company Trooper, a 501st Clone Trooper, and a Captain Emok, which is an Entertainment Earth exclusive. Actually looks really cool, too, out of the packaging. And one more is the Anakin Skywalker and the Naboo Starfighter with R2-D2 exclusive to Amazon. So it's a pop ride.
Mm.
It's pretty cool.
Mm.
Pretty cool. I did pre-order the Baylan Skull Black Series on Amazon, and I think people are finding them in stores. I have not been able to find them in store, but it tells me it's not even going to be delivered until February. So
gross.
Yeah, if I find it in store, I'll just cancel the Amazon pre-orders. But I've been looking. Quite a bit. All right, speaking of Black Series, this was announced and the pricing was very strange. I'm curious if anyone actually bought it and got that actual price, but it's a two-pack of a 501st Clone Trooper and a 332nd Clone Trooper, a Target exclusive, and it was ringing up for $24 for the two-pack. So I don't know if they're keeping it. I don't know how. Like, shit, one is $33 now. So
yeah.
But yeah, I saw that was ringing up that way. And if people got it for that price and actually get this thing delivered to you, awesome. Don't be surprised if you order it and they charge you more for it later. Or just cancel it, because let's be honest. All right, and the last thing for toy announcements. Did you guys see the Holocom collection they put out?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's Din, Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, and I think Axe. Wolves, I think, was the last one.
That sounds right.
I think these things are awesome. I've not seen them in person, but the photos look great online. So what it is they're holographic figures, like the blue, and it comes with a bounty puck that lights them up.
Yeah.
There's like a little sign that lights up in front of it, and the Arabesh that says their name. I want to say they're like $40 each or something like that. But I think these are awesome. I haven't seen it in person, so I don't know if it actually has the desired effect. But if it does, I got to have the Din and the Bo. Gotta.
I think I would be more excited about these if they had come out like 2 or 3 years ago, like right when it was kind of, because now we've got like, I've got like 8 different Din Djarin Black Series figures of all like one's got mud, one's got snow, one's got a removable helmet. One doesn't know where he is.
The only one I have is the original one. Yeah. I love the original suit.
It's such a clean suit. But yeah, if I didn't have like 12 different Din Djarins, and B, if these had come out a little closer to like peak Mando hype, I think I would have been more jazzed about them. But they look great, and it's a good way for Hot Toys Hasbro to really stretch those molds even further. Yeah. They say, hey, you've got all these figures already. Well, how about
you just colorful. Make them blue.
How about Blue Man Group?
But there's a light.
There is a light.
And they light up.
There are no batteries included. Buy your own batteries.
That's a thing now. Like, no one's including batteries anymore. I bought a space heater and it had a little remote and it was like, yep, it's just a CR2032. Buy it yourself. Like,
and they come in packs of 40.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into, we have plenty of time. Let's talk about, not super in depth, let's talk about The Mandalorian Season 3 and Ahsoka. So Mandalorian Season 3, I feel like people either loved it or hated it.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
And I enjoyed it. There was one episode I think I agree with a lot of people. Where I was just like, how is this?
Is it the side adventure they go on where it's with Jack Black and Lizzo?
Yeah.
If it
wasn't Jack Black and Lizzo, and if it was just like two like lesser known people, it might have worked a little better.
Right.
but it was so obviously just them.
Yeah.
It just, like, sucked it out, everything out of the episode. Like, Christopher Lloyd was in that same episode. No one talks about that.
No one talks about that.
Because Christopher Lloyd was great in that episode.
Right, exactly.
And Jack Black and Lizzo weren't bad, but it was Jack Black and Lizzo. Like, it was like, these are just Jack Black and Lizzo playing Star Wars characters.
Right.
At a royalty. Whereas Christopher Lloyd, I'm like, oh, it's Christopher Lloyd. But it's Christopher Lloyd playing a crazy, like, former separatist where...
Yeah.
And maybe that's just because he was played a crazy doctor in Back to the Future, and it just works, but...
There was a part in that episode that I loved when... Because Dan is in his I don't like droids phase for a minute again. And so when all the super battle droids are walking by and he's just kicking them.
Yeah.
For no fucking reason. Yeah. Dan's like, you just stop? I love it. I don't remember what the first episode was. What was the first episode?
Was the first one the...
Was this the pirate episode?
No, first one is the giant alligator monster thing.
Oh, where
it's,
yeah,
because it's right after Din had gone back and being like, I need to be re-blessed. So he's trying to find the minds of Mandalore and all that fun stuff.
Wikipedia calls it the dinosaur turtle.
Yeah, I saw that.
I will say, there's Mando is...
episode, but not a pirate.
Yeah.
Mando is 3 for 3 on having giant creatures in the very, I think, was it the first episode for each of them? Because you have the Ravenak in the first season, you had the Krayt Dragon in the second, and you have giant turtle alligator.
Yep.
Yeah, even had the Mudhorn in the first season, too.
No,
But I'm saying the first episode. I think the first
episode, it's just kind of like, we're going in here.
By the way, giant nature that we have to kill. this season, I've got mixed feelings on this season. Like, I enjoyed a lot of it, but I think this is the same issue I've been having with Mando recently, where it's just, it's too short for what they're trying to tell story-wise. So, like, when they do episodes like the one where they go to a side quest and it's Jack Black and Lizzo and all that jazz, I'm like, this breaks up the pace. Or, like, the spy episode. Was it the spy episode? Whichever the one is that had Katie O'Brien and... It was like the whole espionage thing.
Yeah.
And like that was a super cool episode. Very Andor vibe. Like, love that episode. But it broke up the...
I got to hang out with them too. It was pretty cool. They're all so nice.
You're just collecting them like Thanos. Like, you've got all of them. But yeah, it broke up the pace of the season. I think that's been my issue with the last two seasons, is it like gets going and then they do a side episode. Then it gets going. Then there's a side episode. And then it wraps up. So... I liked the season. I enjoyed a lot of it, but I also wanted, I think, more, especially with how the season started and all the like the deep Mandalore lore they were getting and like all those juicy tidbits for the nerds, the diehards. Like there's a lot of deep cuts in this season of Mando.
Incredible scenes when Din. This goes without saying, spoiler alerts, if you haven't seen season 3 of The Mandalorian at this point.
You should probably have stopped listening a few minutes ago.
when Din and Bo-Katan go into the water, essentially, one of them goes in willingly, the other one falls in like a dummy. But,
how is he to know?
He's just a giant himbo.
Water looks nice. Just walk
in the water. I feel like Bo, every time she's around Din, is like, it's like watching a child.
Yeah.
Like Din and Grogu is like Bo and Din.
Season 4, he's got a Jawa backpack that's got a leash on it.
Yeah. Come here, you.
But that scene was actually really cool because it showed that their helmets couldn't sustain them underwater, which is really cool. And then Bo literally sees a mythosaur. That's awesome. That was so cool.
That blew me away. I was like, no way they just pulled that.
Yeah. Everyone's like, it's the thing. It's that thing right there. It's the mythosaur. Oh my goodness. So I was shocked that how much they leaned into Bo, which I think obviously we're starting to get an idea of the Mandalorian isn't necessarily Din Djarin. It might be this turning into Bo-Katan's story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, about the people and then. But also, I think Dave wants to, this is Dave doing Dave. I think Dave wants to wrap up Bo's story. he's like trying to wrap up every thread from his animated shows.
Yeah.
So I could see the Mandalorian shifting a little bit more from Din to Bo-Katan, while still having Din as like basically as them being like co-leads in the show.
So episode 4 was the Grogu versus Ragnar Vizsla match. silly, right? But fun. As a helmet nerd, I loved that the Foundling helmets are the like original Hasbro shitty wide visor kids helmets. Yeah. I was like, oh man, that's great. That's a great. It helped so many people out in the cosplay world.
You're like, thank God I don't have to make full size helmets for my child.
Yeah. But that's the episode that Ragnar gets picked up by a raptor. And they, you know, we learned that their jetpacks run out of fuel, some of them immediately.
Hey, maybe they didn't refuel.
No, yeah. they didn't have the plot armor. They didn't have the plot fuel.
Yeah. And then maybe the best part from the entire season is they, A, kill the giant raptor and take the three. They adopt the three baby raptors. But like four episodes later, there's some rotisserie chicken happening.
I think I saw somewhere someone confirmed that those aren't the baby raptors, but I also wouldn't put it past Star Wars to have a sweet moment. Only look at the Porg thing.
Right. Yeah. Chewbacca. That's literally what I was thinking about.
It's like, if this is another Porg Chewbacca eating incident, like I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm out. No more attachment to animals.
Episode 4 was actually a pretty massive episode in Star Wars lore, right? That was the Grogu's his vision of him being rescued from the temple by Kelleran Beck. So cool. Like think about all over the years the shit that Ahmed Best got, right?
Yeah.
Forever. Mm-hmm. And to come back in this role.
Yeah.
He said but maybe 10 things total, but it didn't matter. It was just so like impactful. Incredible. I feel so happy for the guy.
I just love that they took his character that was made for it, like YouTube for kids, Star Wars, like Legends of the Hidden Temple kind of show. And it's like, you know what? We're going to make him the most important Jedi in Order 66 because he's saving Grogu. Like, I love that so much for him. And he so deserves it.
I tried sharing that kind of like heartfelt moment as a Star Wars fan with my dad. And he was like, yeah, Jar Jar sucked. I was like,
all right.
That's what you got out of my story.
There's so much like this, so heartwarming. Like as a sort, it should never have gotten to that point. But the fact that I think us and younger generations that grew up with the prequels, are sort of the even all of them. Like the comments that Ewan and Hayden made during the Kenobi press tour. Like the fact that there's been just this outpouring of love for all of them. I think has been so much fun to watch.
It's cool. Yeah. It's really cool.
Man, I'd love to see Jake Lloyd get his flowers too at some point, but if he wanted to, I honestly don't think he even
like, he might not want to. Yeah,
he got it
real bad.
Yeah, like, if he did come back, I think the response would be just as epic for of love, not shitty people. We all know that.
Yeah,
but I think the love would outweigh the shitty. But the last cool thing that happened in episode 4 was Bo-Katan got her Mythosaur pauldron made by the armorer.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick. That new Mythosaur logo is sick.
What was the episode that everybody was convinced? Oh, the spies. That was the episode that everybody was convinced like someone was going to betray it, like Game of Thrones style.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, welcome to my house. I hope you're ready for murder. I think everyone was like the armor is going to betray him, and then it was no, Paz Vizsla is going to betray, and then Wolves is going to betray, and then Bo-Katan is going to betray. Like it was the fan theories were just so funny during this whole time, and then it like turned out to be nothing. It's like
I was waiting for it that whole episode. I was sitting there like, who's going to do this? Who's going to destroy them? I don't know if I can take it. I can't take it. And then it never happened, and I was like, how could you put me through this?
And that was General Hux just saying, I'm the spy.
So episode 5 was the pirate episode, this was porn for me. This was all the Mandalorian fighting in the streets against pirates. Get the fuck out of here.
Like that. You had Mandalorian drop troopers.
Yeah.
Like oh, all that armor, all those blasters. Ugh. And they get their old cover or a covert back, right? They get to move back in to their old digs, and then they kill a pirate that we meet who looks like Pizza the Hut.
Yep,
the vegetarian version.
The vegetarian version, yeah.
The vegetarian, the seaweed version.
Yeah,
and then we learned that Moff Gideon's prison transport was attacked, and he got away. So kind of a big episode, really. Think about it.
Yeah.
Episode 6 was a Bryce Dallas Howard episode, and she has just continued to kill it in the Star Wars universe. So I hope she gets more and everything moving forward. So what was episode 5? Oh, they go and meet up with Axe Wolves, right? And the rest of the Mandalorians. More Mando goodness.
So many Mandos.
So many. Oh, this was the episode though, wasn't it?
Which one?
Bryce's was the Jack Black and Lizzo. I think it was still like a well directed.
It was a well done episode.
It was just those two took it out for me, and I think it took it out for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if that's like an issue that is going to continue with having like bigger name actors and actresses popping into Star Wars stuff. Like even to a degree, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead playing Hera. I was like,
didn't like it.
This is Mary Elizabeth. This is Ramona Flowers playing Hera.
We'll get into that with Ahsoka. Yeah. I wasn't a fan of that casting. But I wonder the same thing. Like you get these, I mean, especially comedic people, like they're very funny. So putting them in a role in an episode that's like really kind of Willy Wonka in its own way.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want them to do that again.
There's camp, and then there's like too much camp, and I think they were going for that campiness because Mando's got a lot of camp in it.
Absolutely,
Star Wars as a whole does, but I think they just hit a little bit too much with Jack Black and Lizzo.
Yeah,
it was a lot. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. Good, still a good episode though. But that there's sections of that episode you're just like, the fuck is this? What are we watching?
It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, but episode 5, the end of that one was pretty cool because we got to see Bo-Katan versus X-Wolves for the leadership fight. That was awesome. And then we got to, Den admitted he got beat by a droid and Bo-Katan saved him, so therefore she was the rightful owner of the Darksaber.
Yeah.
Which was a really cool thing. So episode 7 was the spies that we mentioned a minute ago. This was pretty cool because we got to see like the actual like Imperial meeting, right?
Yep.
Everyone was like, so where's your boy? Where's Blue Boy? Where you at?
Where's Mr. Grand Admiral? Well, hold on. We've done that for you. We gotta wait for another series.
Pump your brakes there.
Hold on. You gotta wait another 6 months for him.
Yeah.
Oh god, this was the episode where Grogu gets IG-12 mech suit.
Oh, that's right. No, oh my god,
no,
yes.
No. Aggressively knowing. Oh, I gotta send you guys. There's a meme I found that's like Grogu in the mech suit, and it's just no. There's also another one that I gotta find the picture where it's where he's flying through the air in the episode, like when someone throws him, and it's just like me when I dissociate, and it's just like Grogu just floating.
They also go to Mandalore and meet the surviving Mandos that have just been chilling underground, I suppose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And they talk about the Night of a Thousand Tears again. That was insane. They find the Great Forge, and then that's when they're ambushed by the Beskar enhanced stormtroopers. Such cool designs.
Yeah.
For the commando Mandos. did we even mention Moff Gideon's?
Oh my gosh.
Speak of that hot armor. That hot toy is real nice, Clark.
Yeah. I'm super hesitant. I want the helmet for my collection, but I'm super hesitant because it is so glossy. It's such a glossy black. That's not an easy one to do myself. If they make a Hasbro version though.
Oh yeah.
I could be tempted. let's see here. Episode 7, The Fall of Paz Vizsla. R.I.P.
He went out so hard, though.
Dude.
Like, Paz Vizsla, cool. Final cool. Stand, melting his repeating blaster. Like, the barrel getting so hot, it just warps. Like, oh, it was so good. Like, I'm sure they took inspiration from, like, not old World War II movies, but the whole World War II movies where they're, like, doing the final stand on the trenches and, like, the Browning machine gun barrel warps because of the heat. And it's like, this is, and then you see the Praetorian Guards and you're like, all right, well, this is like entrance music for them.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so hard.
I know it's a show and it's like, it's pre, you know, they know who's going to win, but if it was two guards instead of three, I think Paz might've had him.
I think he had him on the ropes and then just R.I.P.
Dude, his gun was gone. He had nothing else but a tiny little shield and he pulled out a vibro blade. Badass.
Yeah, unfortunately, he brought a tiny knife to a large knife fight.
But it was incredible. Like, as far as Star Wars deaths goes, maybe the most epic.
It's definitely up there.
Yeah. We should do a show about that.
Epic
the
deaths.
Most epic deaths.
Epic in deaths in Star Wars. TM.
Clone Wars has a lot, though. There's a lot.
That's
of, like,
true.
All of the
live action deaths, epic deaths.
R.I.P. Tech.
Let's see here. What was episode 8? The Return. So it was
the finale.
From Iowa. I can never say his name. They go into Gideon's base.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's where.
Oh yeah.
That's the one that Din destroys he destroys all of Gideon's clones, and then him and Bo have like a final showdown with Moff Gideon and his super Beskar armor.
Yep. This was where people really thought they thought Axe was going, Axe or the armor was going to like flip on him right here, right? Because Axe like flew up. It took fucking forever to get.
It's like the scene in Monty Python where he's like running from the distance towards the castle.
Yeah.
He's like, dun, 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 dun. Then they go back to the fight scene and then they come back to him and he's still flying up.
I do love the armor. Like, she's such a badass. Like, she still, like, even this fight, she went in with her hammer and claws.
Yes. Oh my God. When I saw her going in with that, I was like, all right, let's go. Yeah. She's so awesome.
She has such a cool helmet and an amazingly awesome jetpack. Her jetpack is so cool.
Do you guys follow Nomad Props on Instagram or TikTok?
Probably.
He is like, he became friends with the actress of the armor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and they've done like a bunch of videos together where she's like obsessed with whipped cream.
Yeah.
I saw a video yesterday of her dressed as the armor at a Comic-Con and went up to Giancarlo's table.
Oh.
And, like, he came out and he was like, he was trying to situate her and she took the helmet off and he's like,
they must have so much fun at the cons, like, because they've done especially always. Emily and Giancarlo, I feel like I've been doing the con circuit together since the beginning, like at least since Rhode Island when we went BP.
I met both of them that day. It was great.
Wonderful people.
But to wrap up Mandalorian 3, Din officially adopts Grogu. But somehow Grogu's name is now Din Grogu.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm so confused about the naming.
So his name's actually Jaren?
Is his name Jaren?
if the Din is... Unless they're
the
going
family
for like,
name.
Yeah, unless they're doing some kind of, like, I don't know. Where it's like, I look at Son Goku and stuff like that. Like, if that's the inspiration of it.
Ragnar Vizsla.
Yeah.
Paz Vizsla. So why is it
Din Grogu? Yeah, I don't
Din Grogu.
Hopefully it gets explained. Hopefully it gets explained at some point, but that was weird. At least he's got it was interesting. The finale was interesting. I'm very still mixed on it because it very much felt like a series finale.
Yeah.
Like, they beat the bad guy because they kill. I never trust anything with Star Wars when people die. Killed Moff Gideon. Bo-Katan is now kind of like in this position where she can be the Mandalore, and Din's off chilling on a ranch somewhere with Grogu.
Yeah,
he's on Navarro. He took an actual job.
Yeah,
he's a contracted hunter now, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
With Carson Teva, who again continues to crush it every time, every scene.
Oh, he's so good.
Did either of you buy the chairs that Den sits in? Because they're on Amazon.
No. I saw all those things about it. I was like, this is so Star Wars.
Then they fixed IG-11, and he is now the sheriff or marshal of Marshall,
Navarro. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it felt very much like a series finale rather than a season finale, which I don't know. Maybe they did this just in case a season 4 of Mando didn't get picked up, or if they wanted to explore the other series. Because obviously, like, Skeleton Crew and Ahsoka both take place in the Mando universe, and Book of Boba Fett does. So maybe they're going to let Din, well, I guess not, because they're gearing up for season 4 production, but maybe they thought, if we don't get a season 4, let's let this story kind of have a place where people will be okay with it being done if we step away for a little bit.
So overall, Mandalorian season 3, out of 5, how many Mando helmets are you giving it?
I give it 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I still, I enjoyed a lot of it. And it was like a lot of the deep cuts I really, really enjoyed. Like, the, especially with how I've wanted them to get super into Mando lore, and the fact that they really dove into it this season, I liked. And I think the only things that killed it for me was, again, the short number of episodes for how much story, because it very much felt like they were trying to rush through, especially the finale, so because they stepped away for a couple episodes to go do side quests. So yeah. What about you, Mari? What did you think? You said 4?
I'd say a 4. I agree with you. Like, outside of those two side quests, I loved all of the episodes, but it felt rushed. So I was actually kind of going 3.5 just because I wanted more. So I think I'm at a 3.5 because I wanted more when they gave us a lot, but not long enough.
So what is the deal with Disney Plus shows across the board, Marvel and Star Wars, where there's no like uniform time for each episode? And it's not, that's not even like the worst part. The worst part is it is either 45 minutes or 22. Like, right, you never know. And sometimes the pivotal episode is the shortest one.
Yep.
And it's just like they're shoving so much stuff into like such a short amount of time. Like, what are we doing?
Right. Yeah.
Why? Andor, I felt like, was pretty consistent with each episode's length. Like,
I would agree. Yeah.
Like, that felt of all the Disney Plus Star Wars series we've gotten, that one felt the most good when it came to episode length and I think number of episodes, because wasn't Andor like 12 episodes? I forget how many episodes Andor was.
I think it was 12, because episode, it really picked up at episode 9 and 10.
Yeah, because they dropped the first 3, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it's, maybe they'll learn from some of the other ones, but I say that every time talking about, like, maybe they'll give us some hour minimum episodes and stretch it out a little longer, but they're going to do what they're going to do.
BP, what would you rate it?
Oh, probably 4. Yeah. If the episodes were longer or more structured, like, not inside the episode itself, but like episode to episode.
Yeah.
Because it has everything I love about Star Wars. It's got awesome armor. It's got a lot of Mandalorian.
That's true.
A lot of Star Warsy stuff in it. I love that. But it's just some other stuff that just takes it down a couple things. But overall, I enjoyed it a lot. More Mandalorian content, the better, in my opinion. But I'm a mark. So let's get into Ahsoka.
Boop, boop.
All right, so there was what, 110 episodes? Well, how many episodes?
There were 8. Again.
Once again, a lack of episodes.
Yeah.
8 episodes, but it starts off hot, right? Episode 1 starts like immediately with Ray Stevenson, RIP, who, let's just get this out of the way now, dude crushed this role.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Every scene he was in, stole it.
Yep.
I just saw a thing the other day behind the scenes with Dave Filoni talking about Ray. He's like, Ray, you're the bad guy here. And he said, Ray said, not to me.
Wow.
He's like, this is my story is I'm trying to save the universe.
Right.
And that's how he played it, the way he played it.
And he does it so convincingly where you're like, oh, hold on now. Let's see. Yeah. Maybe Balin's got a point here. Maybe he's looking out for the greater good. But it's one of the, I think one of the biggest bummers in Star Wars is that we'll never get to see what his character is going to do outside of this one season. At least from Ray Stevenson, they might recast him if they're going to keep Balin around. They'll probably recast him, but he was so incredible in every scene and everything he did. You just felt like it was thoughtful and strategic, and he had a purpose, and it was very much like part of a greater picture. And he felt very like in tune with the Force and bringing balance. I mean, it was like the perfect portrayal of like a villain who is doing something like what he thinks is right.
Right. Yeah.
I loved his armor looked awesome on Rey. Yep. Mm-hmm. His lightsaber style, mm-hmm. his fighting style was so brutal and like forceful. Him versus Soko was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Loved the orange saber choice for him and Jen. Thought that was incredible. Him and Shin together, unbelievable chemistry. Right?
Yeah,
like they work so well together. They from her post after he passed was super heartfelt.
Yep,
like they called each other not by their actual names; it was by their like stories they made up on set. Like it was so cool. Like,
aww.
It just sucks that we lost him because he did an unbelievable job. Balin Skull legit might be in my top five favorite Star Wars characters in amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. It's like all the wisdom of like a older Kenobi or a Qui-Gon or something like that, but with like the raw fighting power and just not anger, but forcefulness of like a Vader.
Yeah. Yeah. So God, so good.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's Ray. RIP Ray. Let's see here. What else happened in this episode? So Balin and Shin, they rescue Morgan Elsbeth, right? So that's got to really burn Ahsoka's biscuits, you know? Took all that time. Bam. Take her out. Obviously, they're all trying to get to Thrawn. Still looking for Ezra. Is it Huang? Huang? I can never say it.
Huang. Huang?
David Tennant's character.
Yeah.
David Tennant, of course. Great addition to live action Star Wars.
As soon as he started talking, I was like, why do I know this voice? And then I saw David Tennant's name in the credits and I was like, oh my gosh.
So it just like happened until a couple episodes later, but is Huang telling the story of Star Wars? Are we getting it from his point of view? Like overall?
He is the Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was all a dream.
Yeah. So this first episode was actually pretty in depth, but
you get a lot of the Rebels cast like right out the gate. Which was just incredible to experience since Rebels is my favorite animated series of all of them. Like it was so cool getting to experience seeing them in real life, despite Hera.
Yeah, live action Lawful was pretty cool.
Yes. I was probably like vibrating in my seat. Like I can't imagine Sean enjoyed watching it simply because of how excited I was every time something like, I mean, I was just so hyped to see like the tower, like the road leading to the tower in live action. They're riding the bikes down. Oh my. Yeah. Sorry.
The last two things from this episode I want to talk about is one, the map is cool as fuck. The ball that like, you,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Rubik's Cubit.
The star map.
Mm-hmm. So the one like real major thing that happened this episode is Sabine has been training as a Jedi or was training as a Jedi with Ahsoka as an apprentice. So, there comes a fight, right? A duel between Sabine and Shin. Shin kicks her ass.
Yep.
It literally stabs her through the abdomen.
Yep.
How many more times are we going to do this where someone's getting like lightsaber through the gut, and they're just like, "Nah, dog, I'm playing. We're good."
Right? No, I'm fine.
Qui-Gon's over here, like, "Am I a joke to you?"
We were all there. We saw Qui-Gon take a blade to the stomach, die.
Qui-Gon apparently wasn't built different.
Big tree fall hard.
I'm built similar. It was interesting. The nice thing about this is obviously we all have seen Rebels. We really love Rebels. The people who haven't seen Rebels though, this was a nice, I feel like, slow entry into what is basically the finale of Rebels, like where we see Ahsoka and Sabine before they eventually go off to try and find Ezra. We get kind of the stuff that we didn't see in Rebels, but it leads to that final scene that we see in Rebels with the mural and Ahsoka the White and all. Obviously they changed a little bit. We don't have Ahsoka the White when in that scene in Ahsoka, in the Ahsoka series. So I was nice. Like, obviously I think the Rebels, or not the Rebels, the Ahsoka series leaned heavily on, if you know what happened in Rebels, then you're good to go.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job of introducing it to new people while also not wasting two episodes rehashing. Hey, by the way, here's Kanan. This is who Kanan was. I love the fact, I think you can barely see it, that there's like a photo of Kanan in the ghost. And I was like, oh, this hurts. This hurts so bad. Oh, it hurts. It stings. It stings the heart. One thing I do want to say in this episode, Clancy Brown, the fact that they got his character in live action, which always cracks me up because I'm like, oh, hi, Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Every time I say him, he's great. He's been in Mando now. He's been in the Ahsoka series.
Fourth character, I think, in Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's four.
He's so good. So good. Does such a good job. But every time I see him, I'm like, oh, it's Mr. Krabs. So really fun to see him. And then the like punk rock music that they had with Sabine when she's on the motorbike, on the speeder bike. I was like, I can get down with this. This I fuck with.
Yeah.
Mos Eisley in live action.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Episode two. Episode two is kind of not slapping you in the face with it, but it's actually a pretty huge development for how the First Order came to be, if you think about it, because they figure out, so the droids that came and attack with Shin, they figured out through science, Star Wars reasons, where the droids came from, which is Corellia, and they go to Corellia to, what do they for? To find people. But the biggest thing about Corellia is they find a group of people who are Imperial supporters still to this day. They're actively working to try to bring it back.
Yep.
So how the First Order came to be is because it never went away.
Right. There are people. It's a huge thing still.
So that was a pretty cool I thought that was a really cool development that they showed us that. And they showed us that in Mando with Christopher Lloyd, and then they showed us again with Ahsoka. So I like that bit of connection.
Which they always did that being kind of the end game of all this, back when like the first season of Mando, it's like, we're going to tell the stories between the end of Return of the Jedi and the start of the First Order. So now we're really getting that start of the First Order stuff.
Yeah. Which, great. Make it make sense, please. Thank you.
Right, yeah.
We got to see Ahsoka duel Merrick, which was pretty cool. Like, she just, like, so nonchalantly, Anakin style, fought this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're so below me. Let's see here, but they end up getting away with another hyperdrive, right?
Hyperdrive.
Six, I think, is what they had.
Yeah, but I loved this episode because you got the Chopper and Hera relationship.
Chopper finally came in, and the world was introduced to the galaxy's most
biggest criminal,
worst world criminal.
I think it goes Chopper, and then Anakin, and then Obi-Wan, and then Ahsoka. Like, just the amount of crimes between those four.
But I absolutely loved, because it was Filoni voices Chopper, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, just shoot it out of the sky. I can't. It'll kill people below. And?
Yeah.
Can you throw the sensor? No, Chopper. I didn't move your sensor.
I've not been in your stuff.
Oh, good.
All right. So then they figure out, or Elsbeth is contacted by Skull, Hottie, and Merrick. They got the hyperdrives, and now they're going to, what was the name of the fucking planet they went to?
Go to random Satos? Unknown.
Satos?
Unknown planet number 12.
Wait, the one where they take the map and put it in the map?
Yeah.
I think that's Satos.
Satos. I think you're right, actually. Yes, I think you are right. I think that's right. I'm sure we'll find out here. Let's see. Yes, yeah. Boop, bing, bong, right there. All right. So episode 3, Rin begins training with Ahsoka again with Huang's guidance, who is just sick of everybody's shit at this point. He's been doing this for so long, he's just sick of people's attitude. I guess I do have a question, like Star Wars in general, based off the show. So Sabine is learning to be force sensitive. Is that what I'm to understand?
I think she is. She's learning to become more in tune with it.
Okay.
I think that's her trouble.
Yeah. Which maybe like the whole idea is because we see her training with a lightsaber and then training with the darksaber in the animated series. So maybe if whoever actually can wield the darksaber also has a little bit of force sensitivity, but they're Mandos, so they like ignore it because they hate the Jedi. Like, hey, you're force sensitive. No, I'm not. It's
fine. No, it's okay.
That's not me. That's not, I don't play that game.
What's the force?
Is this episode one where C-3PO comes in on behalf of Leia when Hera is at the council trying to get permission to go to Satos?
Yes. Yep.
Even with the mention of her, I was like, oh.
I know.
It makes me so sad every time they bring up Leia because I'm like, oh man, I miss Carrie.
Me too.
This is a good episode. So this is actually really cool. So we finally get Purgles, right? Live action Purgles.
Yes.
We saw him in Mando briefly. Yeah. But like it was like the silhouette of
It was just the silhouette. We didn't get to actually see them.
Get inside.
we're in the mouth of the Purgil.
All right, Pinocchio.
I don't think it happened in this episode yet, but
no.
No.
I have a friend who absolutely hates space whales. Like he said they came on the screen and he was like livid. Hated it. Yeah.
I don't get the hate for the Purgle.
He said he hated it, and so Star Trek apparently did it too, and he hated it then too.
Well, this is consistent.
Yeah. All right, episode 4. So episode 4 is let's see, I don't really remember.
This is where they get to the map and then you have the big battle between Ahsoka and Marok, and then she absolutely dusts Marok.
Oh, that's like,
literally. Right. Yeah.
Literally. Although everyone's like, oh, it's Ezra turned bad, or oh, it's this. And then it was just like, nope, done. And everyone's like, you're Marok.
All of y'all were wrong.
Your Marok theory sucks.
we got Ren versus Shen 2.
Version 2.
It goes a little bit better.
Those two, by the way.
Huh?
A lot of tension between those two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we got Baylan and Ahsoka, which great lightsaber. What, like, definitely top.
Yeah.
One of the top lightsaber battles in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Just because of I think it's like the combination of the dialogue and the fighting styles and just the whole. Like the background, because you're there, you've got the background of the map all over the place. Like,
yeah.
And I love how when the trailer came out, everyone's like, oh, they're fighting in the world between worlds. And then it's like, nope, you were wrong about that too. Not quite yet.
So, I mean, Ahsoka loses that duel, right? And she dies, essentially. She dies.
Yeah.
Then we get probably the most unreal.
Yeah.
Cameo is not the right word, but we got Hayden back as Anakin. Yep. And their interaction in the world between worlds and those flashbacks to the Clone Wars and the incredible scene where Anakin is in the smoke walking out and he's like lightning and he's Vader and he's back to Anakin.
I think that's the next episode.
Yeah, yeah. The next episode's when they jump ahead.
But yeah, that's what leads into getting that.
So yeah,
Hayden unbelievable. Hayden did such a good job because obviously we had Hayden in the Kenobi series with the flashbacks with Obi-Wan and then also the little bits of him that we saw through the Vader mask. But I feel like he has just taken the character, like it's still Anakin.
Yeah.
But he's elevated it. He's older. So I feel like he's older himself. So I feel like he's taken that and applied it to this version of Anakin, which is trapped in his Revenge of the Sith body, but he's an older, wiser Anakin.
Yeah.
Which I feel like makes it better when we see the Hayden version of Anakin at the end of Return of the Jedi. It's like, okay, this is what we've been built. This is Anakin. This is the chosen one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's cool. It's episode 5 is a lot of that. Mm-hmm. The Clone Wars flashbacks, like, how cool is that? We got to see Mandalorians.
Oh, I was so happy. Like, I got to, that really like made me, I was like, okay, where's Sam? Where is he? Bring my boy.
It's the only thing we didn't get. It would have been too much. It would have been too powerful if we had Maul running around too.
He voiced some other characters in this series, but I was like,
it's not the same.
I want my Darth Maul.
That would have been so sick just to see him like just like lumbering by with the sound of his metal legs hitting the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so awesome. God, that would have been so awesome. It couldn't have been contained. It's probably a good thing they didn't do it.
Young Ahsoka was good though too, the actress that played, which is hilarious. She is
phenomenal.
Isn't she the same actress that played young Gamora too?
Yep.
Yeah.
So she's just like working her way through this. I was like,
Disney
good for
sweetheart.
Good for you.
Yeah, she did great. The young Ahsoka like costume looked awesome. Mm-hmm. The headpiece, everything.
I'm pretty sure that was another moment where I was like shaking in my seat with excitement. Like, look at this, it's real life Clone Wars.
And it didn't feel forced. Like it felt good. No. Like they could have done like a callback and it's like, oh, okay. Like this is, but it felt good. And I think the way they handled it and like using the world between worlds. And then when you come back to like the now times and you've got Hayden fighting Ahsoka and it's just, the combination of the elements of Vader and the elements of Anakin. I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
It really does put in perspective Clone Wars Season 7 when Ahsoka was dueling Maul.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kicking his ass.
Kicking Maul's ass. Yep.
Like, that's incredible when you really think about it. Like, that's insane to me. Yeah, I love seeing Rex. That was great. As an armor nerd, his biceps armor was upside down.
It's always got to be one mistake that makes it canon. Because now all the 501st people are going to be like, well, are you doing live action Rex? Well, now you got to do upside down biceps.
Yeah, and I will specify phase one live action Rex. Pretty, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Then we get Syndulla. The Syndulla casting, hindsight being 2020. Not great.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead's a good actress.
She's a phenomenal actress.
I don't know. Part of me feels like it's a little bit of nepotism because I think she's married to Ewan now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe that got her foot in the door. And then
I just wish it had been with someone else.
Like, yeah, I don't know. It felt like she was cosplaying as Hera.
Yeah.
Versus like her being Hera.
Yeah.
Like Natasha Lou Bordizzo felt like Sabine. Yeah. Rosario feels like Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lars Mikkelsen is Thrawn, so he doesn't have to feel like Thrawn. Yeah. He is Thrawn. But
it has to just rub Ashley Eckstein's grits, doesn't it?
Like, I know.
Yeah.
Do you follow her on Instagram?
It wouldn't work.
They're adorable. Like her and the voice actors for Obi-Wan and Anakin, they constantly do the circuit together. And they're always doing behind the scenes. They're so adorable. I wanted to meet them at New York, but I was helping a friend work, so it was a bummer. But
so the last two things for episode 5 that I just want to touch on is we get inside the mouth of the Purgle.
we finally gotten there.
We Pinocchio'd it.
I can't go any further without mentioning the absolute hellscape that is Ahsoka without her headband thing on that they showed us.
Oh, that was terrifying. Oh, yeah. It was nightmare fuel.
That was so hard to see.
I was like, wait a second, something looks off. I was like, oh, she's yeah. her head is naked. I don't like this.
Right, yeah.
I was like, nope, don't like that. Nope. Get the hot toy on that one, please. Episode 6 was called Far, Far Away, which obviously we're all going to love that. But they are in the new galaxy, right?
Yeah. So yep. Sabine and Elsbeth and all of them are in.
Right, because Sabine hands over whatever.
Yeah, the map in episode 4.
Huge episode for Mari. We got to see Night Sisters in live action.
I lost my shit. I'm not even kidding when I say I was vibrating on the couch through most of this series. Like, when this one popped up, I was like, no way! Like, oh, I was so hyped. And then the magic, like, oh.
I feel like Dave just went through and he's like, all right, what will Mari like? Rebels, Dathomir, perfect, prophet. I love that we like Morgan Elsbeth turns out to be like from Dathomir. I was like, okay, yeah. Didn't expect this at all, but I'm here for this.
I wasn't thrilled about it just because like
the look,
because she's not a night sister, yeah. But it's okay.
I feel like that was something that was like they had obviously cast her for Mando, and then they were like, oh, let's put her in as a main character in Ahsoka, and they're like, all right, but what if we made her a Night Sister, but we can't change her appearance now because she's already been a Mando. So maybe it was an afterthought thing that when they were working the store, they're like, Night Sisters, let's add those in. But we need them to connect to something. Boom, Morgan Elsa. So, still cool.
So Thrawn keeps his promise, or keeps Baylan's promise, and lets Ren go, Sabine Ren go.
It's to serve his purpose. Like,
now, just to... And to where Ezra is, and then as soon as she leaves, he's like, "Okay, go kill him."
Yeah.
So yeah, of course, Skull and Baylan and Shen follow her. You know, hijinks ensue. But they do end up finding. Is this the episode where they find? No. So the next episode must be when they find.
Yeah, there's the turtle people.
All right, so episode 7 is when we get to see 3PO Leia cameo. So cool.
I also love that we see Senator Ziono.
Episode 6 is where we meet the turtle people. The very end is when she eventually runs into Ezra. But yeah, sorry.
We found him. We found him, guys. We found him. We know where he is.
With the most like disappointing reunion, I feel like, out of all of it.
Yeah, it was kind of like.
It was like, hey.
Hey, how you been? I'm glad you found me.
Yeah. Oh, you're alive. Wow.
Traversed galaxies to find your hairy ass.
He's got that wicked Jedi beard. I was like, all right, Ezra, with the sage Jedi look.
The chainmail armor of stormtrooper dog tags.
Yeah, that was pretty tough. And this is Killmonger in Black Panther. Every one of these is someone I killed. Every one of these is someone that I've killed that's a stormtrooper. Also,
more fighting this episode. This is the episode where Thrawn finds out that Ahsoka was trained by Anakin, and he has like a visual. Oh shit!
Yeah,
this obviously. Anakin and Thrawn have, I don't know if they didn't have any interaction in the Clone Wars series, but if you read the Thrawn Alliances, I think it's Alliances is the novel where they're together.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, reading pays off. So knowing all of that and like having read that story, I was like, oh, I love this. This feels so good.
And this is the episode where we got C-3PO delivering the message and
with Senator Ziono trying to fight about it, which I was like, oh, Kaz's dad is.
But wasn't a jerk. What's her name? She was in it, wasn't she? On the Mon Mothma was there. Yep, love it. Put her in everything.
What do you guys think of the Night Troopers?
Which one? The Stormtrooper version or the Death Trooper version?
Either way, the non-alive versions.
I wasn't a huge fan of like the gold stuff, but I was a big fan of
the zombies.
The zombie version, which was that this one or was that the next episode? Was the zombies? I think it's the last episode is when they turn into zombies. Yeah,
I'm assuming we're gonna get at some point, whether it's comic or a book or something, explanation for the gold.
Yeah,
the red zombies, right? The red is the Night Sisters, but the gold in Enoch's helmet alone, it's got to be a story there because that's bizarre for Star Wars. Cool ass helmet, Enoch's.
Yeah, like a nice little, like very. I liked how they took very like heavy, like Roman, like influences, which kind of makes sense. You know, Thrawn trying to build a new empire, kind of thing.
All right. So, and then at the end of this episode, Ahsoka reunites with Sabine and Ezra.
Yeah.
Again, to almost know, like,
hey. and they kick the snot out of Shin.
It's true.
And all of her mercenaries. And then
we leave her alone. She's never done anything wrong her whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
Episode 8, maybe the last episode. Morgan is gifted that badass sword that I cannot remember the name of from the Great Mothers and essentially turned into, I guess, a good mother. She's not exactly great.
Yeah.
while Ezra builds a new lightsaber using spare parts from Kanan's junk, I guess. That was pretty cool to see. And getting assistance from Huang to build it was also very cool. And the three of them make their way to the Chimera, where they do some crazy Jedi stuff of jumping really far, not jumping far enough type deal.
And then Ezra makes it on, and Ahsoka and Sabine stay behind, and Morgan Elsbeth is dead.
The Morgan versus Ahsoka was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The zombie night troopers were cool. I thought they were really cool.
The death troopers were my favorite because if you look up like the close ups of the death troopers helmets, it's like rotting flesh underneath. I was like, this is tough. This I love. I just like that we finally got Star Wars like horror because that also came out in October. So I was like, okay, we're in spooky season. Star Wars is getting scary. I'm here for this. Let's do a whole live action like Death Trooper scary stuff going on.
Yeah. And then the last two things for this episode that we can talk about is like you just mentioned, Ezra makes it back to our quote our galaxy to almost no fanfare to Hera again. Do they really want to find this guy? And then as Ahsoka, Sabine, and Huang are stranded back in Peridia, is that what it was called?
Mm-hmm.
Shen is also there, and she just cuddles up to the bandits. She's their leader now, I'm assuming. The native bandits to the planet, I assume. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, Baylan is off in the wilderness and standing on just a small Mortis God statue.
Just a little one.
Casual.
Looking off in the distance where there is a light shining at him. Crazy implications to what that means.
Because he was standing in the hand of the father, right?
Yeah. And the daughter's head was missing.
And then was the son completely intact?
I think so, yeah.
Which, I mean, obviously, if you've seen Clone Wars, you know all the fun with the Mortis gods and Ahsoka's connection to them and... We're about to get real, real wild stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. I will say Ahsoka season 2 is going to be really popular with Mari too, because I guess the last time we see Thrawn and the Great Mothers, they're arriving at
Dathomir,
That's has really cool implications what we could see from that planet.
assuming we get a season two. I don't think they've confirmed a season two, which I would be stunned, absolutely stunned if we didn't get a season two.
Yeah. They better get me some live action Darth Maul.
And then I guess it does. Does it end with Anakin's Force Ghost like kind of watching over him? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Off in the distance. It's like not quite like the Qui-Gon Obi-Wan thing, but it's like right at the end, like Ahsoka, it's like Sabine's over here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Ahsoka like looks behind her and you can see Anakin in the distance. And then Anakin's looking back at her, like smiling kind of thing.
I just realized that in season two, we probably would have gotten an Anakin and Baylan scene.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because the story is like, right. Anakin was chosen by the Mortis gods to become them. Right. So.
Yeah. I think if they're going to really get into the Mortis gods, then it's going to get real crazy.
Yeah.
Because that whole arc in Clone Wars is just bonkers.
Yeah. It's so good. So good.
Such good storytelling, such a good arc. And it's that, again, it's a shame that Rey isn't going to be able to continue playing Baylan, because I think he would have been so interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because that arc itself is so crazy that you add his, what he's brought to the table as Baylan to that. Yeah. And then let him just run with it. And I think it would have been like one of the best
stories.
It could still be good though. I mean, it's depending on who, if they do keep Baylan, whoever they recast him with, I'm sure he's going to do a great job, but Rey just, he brought something else to that character.
Yeah. That was an unexpected welcome surprise.
Yeah.
But overall out of five Ahsoka series, what do you got, Todd?
4.75.
Maury?
5. I didn't hate any of the episodes. I loved so much about it, and it was such a Rebels callback that it was what I wanted. I wanted a little bit more.
I'm going to go with 5 as well. I loved it. I'm not even ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Everything I wanted, everything I loved about Star Wars was there. So. Yep.
It's a shame that this was the series that was in the thick of the strike, because I think it would have been really, really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Just all of, as the episodes were coming out, the cast opinions on it, because now we're getting it all after the fact.
After, yeah.
Well, we are rapidly running out of time. so I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up. So before we do, though, I want to say thank you to, because while we were gone, we still received DMs and messages from people asking where we were and if we're going to put new content out. And we appreciate people who really stuck with us throughout this whole break. And we appreciate you guys for listening a great deal. So
thank you very guys. Much.
Thank you.
So with that being said, let's go ahead and wrap this up. But before we do, remember, the Force will be with you.